So we are reading from the ninth canto, fourth chapter, text 67. And we will start with the invocation. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mat Sevaya Pratitam Te Salokayadi Chatustyam Nechanti Sevaya Purnaha Kuto Nyat Kala Viplutam Matsevaya Pratitam Te Salokayadi Chatustayam Nechanti Sevaya Purna Kuto Nayat Kalavi Plutam Matsevaya. By being fully engaged in my transcendental loving service. Pratitam, automatically achieved. Te, such pure devotees are fully satisfied. Salokya Adi Chatustyam, the four different types of liberation. Salokya, Swarupya, Sampiya, and Sharsti. What to speak of Sayuja? Na, not. Ichayanti, desire. Sevaya, simply by devotional service. Purna, fully complete. Kuta, where is the question? Anyat, other things. Kalaviplutam, which are finished in the course of time. Translation. My devotees, who are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service, are not interested even in the four principles of liberation, Salokya, Sarupya, Sampiya, and Sharsti, although these are automatically achieved by their service. What then is to be said of such perishable happiness as elevation to the higher planetary systems? Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bilvamangal Thakur has estimated the value of liberation as follows. Mukti svayam mukul litanjale sevate svam dharmatha kama gataya samaya pratikshaya. Bilvamangal Thakur realized that if one develops his natural devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukti stands before him with folded hands to offer all kinds of service. In other words, a devotee is already liberated. There is no need for him to aspire for different types of liberation. The pure devotee automatically achieves liberation even without desiring it. So first I will say a short prayer because I was born in the darkness of ignorance and I need the torchlight of knowledge. Om Jnana Tamaranyasa Gnagina Salakaya Chaksurin Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, it's blowing away here. So we'll talk about, I'll read the verse again. Matsevaya pratitam te salokayadi chatuschayam netayanti sevaya purana kuto nayat kalavi plutam. My devotees who are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service are not interested even in the four principles of liberation. Salokya, Sarupya, Sampiya, and Sharsti. Although these are automatically achieved by their service. What then is to be said of such perishable happiness as elevation to the higher planetary systems? So, we will talk today about happiness and how everybody is searching to achieve some kind of happiness. They're wanting happiness. And then we will talk about these different kinds of liberation. And then we will talk about what the devotees are willing to do to please Krishna. And then we will talk about the candidates. So, we see in this, what's amazing is the different kinds of happiness, what we think in our mind. In Bhagavad Gita, it talks about the material kinds of happiness. Let's start. It's funny, people would ask my stepfather how he was doing, and he'd say, should I start from the most sublime and work to the ridiculous, or go from the ridiculous and go to the most sublime? So we'll start at the ridiculous, the most mundane, and we'll work up. So there's a happiness in the mode of ignorance called the tamagun. And when do you get happiness from that? Is that happiness eternally? Is this a choice question? Is that happiness eternally? A. B. Is it in the end? C. Is it in the beginning? Or D. Is it never? Which one? D. D. Yes. You never get it. But people keep thinking this is the craziness of the insanity. The insanity means, Einstein said, insanity means that you keep doing the same thing over and expect a different result. We see this, the perfect examples of the mode of ignorance is alcohol and intoxication. A person felt so miserable from doing it. What is the solution? More. The idea of more is there, but it's put in the wrong direction. So in this one, it is distress in the beginning, and it becomes more distress later. So the solution is to have more of it. No. So then to our mind, the best kind of happiness is the next one, the rajagun, passion. Because it's pleasure in the beginning. So that has to be the best one, doesn't it? No. It's like saying, hey, I'll give you a lakh of rupees right now. But there's conditions. What do you want to know? What do you want to know? What the conditions are. Yes? So you get happiness in the beginning from the mode of passion, and then you get happiness later? What is it later? Poison. Except next time will be different. We find that. But if people are thinking in passion, I just want what I want, when I want it, doesn't matter what the consequences are. Because I'll worry about that later. And then when it comes, they're not happy with it. Is this in the right place you can hear? No? I think it went down farther. Now? Okay, we'll try to keep it there. So, above this happiness is the happiness in the mode of goodness. It may be some endeavor in the beginning, like poison, but in the end, it will be some kind of pleasure. This will be better. But we're thinking above these material kinds of happiness. What's amazing in this verse, you know, these kinds of things are so temporary, and it's talking about elevation to the perishable happiness as elevation to the heavenly planets. You know, in the heavenly planets, they sometimes live for 10 million of our years, 100 million. Lord Brahma lives for one of his days is 4,320,000,000 years of ours. And so he lives for 311 trillion years. So even when Brahma is approached by Hiranyakashipu to become immortal, he says, even I have to die, even my life is perishable. It's a lot more than what we're thinking of. And the life in these heavenly planets is certainly a lot better than that mode of passion. This keeps slipping. I guess I have to hold it here. It's a lot more than that mode of passion that comes and for a brief second you're happy and then there's a whole lot of pain. We're talking millions of years. But it's still temporary. And people are praying to the demigods for these. And Krishna says, Antapatu phalam tesham tad bhavati alpamedisham. Alpamedisham. You're praying. The results are limited and temporary. Alpamedisham. That even these going to the heavenly planets, what about this material pleasure? It is so little. It's like if you're very thirsty. Hey, I'll give you water. And you get one drop. Yes? But it's the best quality water ever. I told that to someone when he said, you know, it's not important quantity, it's quality that's important. I says, oh good, you can have some lunch with me and I'm going to give you the best quality prasadam ever. So I gave him a grain of rice. I said, this is the best rice you can get. He says, don't I get more? He said, I thought you said that it was quality that's important, not quantity. So which one is important, quality or quantity? Both. It's like electricity. Amps times volts gets watts. So you need both quality and quantity. So if these kinds of happiness are limited and temporary, we think, how is it devotees could not be interested in these kinds of liberation? There is Sauja liberation. Are people interested in that? Sauja? Some people are. They want to merge into the Brahman effulgence. But is that listed as one of the four kinds? No. So even as great as that is, there is something better. Now let's talk about these opulences. See if they sound pretty good. Where would we want to live? If we have all the choices of where we want to live, where would we live? Vrindavan. And eternally? Goloka Vrindavan. And some people want to go to Vaikuntha. Some people to Ayodhya. Life there is eternal. You don't get old. You don't suffer from birth, death, disease. We don't have Kunta. That's why Kunta is anxiety. That's why it's called Vaikuntha, without anxiety. We go to there. We have eternity, knowledge, and bliss. We're living on the planet of the Lord where it just can't get better. So you'd think someone would want that. Of course, this is a great opulence to have, isn't it? Can anyone deny that it's not a wonderful, special thing? And then how about Swarupya Mukti? This means we get a form like the Lord. Eternal, blissful form that doesn't suffer. That's beautiful. Not as beautiful as the Lord, but it's beautiful. We get Swarupya, a form similar to the Lord's, in relation to the Lord. Just like children, you know, feel comfortable with their parents because they look like the parents. They have a body in relation to their parents. In our Swarupya, our original form, we have a form that puts us in relationship to Krishna. You may be a cowherd boy, you may be a gopi, you may be a cow. Whatever your form is, this form is a relationship to Krishna or Vishnu or Rama, and it makes you feel that eternally. How about Sharsti? This is opulences like the Lord. Does anyone want some of these opulences? Of course, we can't have all the opulences the Lord has. The Lord has some opulences we don't have. We can have them in full. Raise your hand if you have some of these opulences. We read in the... You have the opulences? Oh, some, okay. Some. How about these ones, though? We have some of the opulences of Krishna. They're mentioned in the book Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion. And the first 50 we have in some degree. But how about some of these opulence? Supreme Controller, raise your hand if you have some of these. Changeless, all cognizant. You thought you were all cognizant, but you forgot that you weren't. Changeless, all mystic perfections, all yogic potencies. Still no one has any of these. We are eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. All cognizant form? We don't have that. How about universes come from your body? Krishna has unlimited. You have one? Every once in a while does a universe come out of your body? Or is that like sweat? How about do you give salvation to the enemies you kill? Don't try that one. Because people who think that way are actually insane. They have like a God complex or a Messiah complex, that they're going to come out and do God's work. I remember in the 60s, the one person says, I have a gun, and if anybody comes to my house, I'm just an instrument of karma, and I'll shoot them. You know how many times I went back to his house? None. How about a tractor of all liberated souls? I don't have those either. Source of all incarnations? These are the wonderful opulences Krishna has. And we can have other opulences in relationship to Krishna. How about Sampiya? That means to be associated with the Lord. That we get to be associated with Him and be in His pastimes. We think about how these are exemplified even more in the association with Krishna. We can experience these four opulences that even Vishnu does not exhibit. This one here, that Krishna has the wonderful devotees, that we get to be associated with Krishna and wonderful other devotees. And we have the pastimes that go along with that, the Leela Madhuri. Not only is there the Prema Madhuri, which is the devotees who have wonderful loving relationship with the Lord, but there is Leela Madhuri, the most excellent kind of pastimes that we can have in association with the Lord. And beyond that, Krishna has this most beautiful form that goes back to that Swarupya. We get a form in relationship to the Lord. And it is association. We get to always be seeing that form. And every second we see His form, it is as if we have never seen that form before. There is nothing better for the eyes to see. If all these beautiful and glorious mighty manifestations spring from a spark of Krishna's splendor, how much splendor must the original source, Krishna, have? It must be wonderful. So how is it the devotees could not be as interested in these things? Krishna plays the flute. And when He plays this flute, things happen like the Yamuna River turns to milk and the line on Lord Shiva's throat disappears. And Radharani talks about this flute. When she is in Kurukshetra at the lunar eclipse. Was it lunar or solar? Which one was it? So, at the eclipse, she says, I met my old and dear friend Krishna on the field of Kurukshetra. He is the same Krishna and I am the same Radharani. And it is very wonderful. But I still wish to be by the bank of the Yamuna River, hearing Krishna play that sweet fifth transcendental note on his flute within that forest of Vrindavan. So we think these things are very wonderful. So if these things are happiness, beyond material happiness, there is Sauja. Or no, beyond the material happiness here in the modes of nature, there's the happiness of the heavenly planets. And then there's Sauja. And beyond that, there's these four kinds of liberation that obviously bring happiness. So if the devotees aren't concerned with that, what kind of happiness are they concerned with? Whose happiness are they concerned with? Krishna's happiness. This is just like a mother. Does a mother love a child because the child does so much for them? No, because they do so much for the child. So the devotee does not even care about these things. Of course, Krishna gives them automatically, but is not saying, okay, Krishna, if you give me these opulences, then I'll do service for you. The devotee is thinking, no, let me just serve Krishna in love, and I won't even be concerned with these. Daruka was fanning Krishna, and he started to feel ecstasy, and he wanted the ecstasy to go away, because he simply wanted to serve Krishna, and he didn't want these things to stand in the way of his service. So the devotees are giving this kind of love, and they are thinking of Krishna's happiness more than they're thinking of their own. Now, even though it comes naturally, they're not thinking, okay, well, if I do this, I'll get this. They're not concerned. They're not concerned with whether they get the happiness or they don't. They're not concerned if things are easy or difficult. They're not concerned with any problems. I try to remember this. If I surrender to Krishna, I don't have problems anymore. Now they're Krishna's problems. And you know what I do if I get some problem or something that's bothering me? I write it down and I put it before the deities I have of Krishna. I have pictures, but I put them there and say, okay, Krishna, you take care of this and I will just engage in serving you. I give the problem to Krishna rather than speculating about this problem and coming up with so many ideas. We have so many ideas in this world. So we think the devotees are so interested in pleasing Krishna. That is what he says in this verse here. That he says that they are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service. And they're not interested in anything else. They're satisfied to be engaged in that loving service. And the devotees, to be engaged in that satisfying, loving service, they're even prepared to do difficult, painful, and impossible tasks if it comes in the service of the Lord. They don't question why. We don't go to Krishna to surrender with a list of conditions. Say, Krishna, I want to surrender to you, but I have some covenants, conditions, and restrictions to apply to that surrender. We don't approach Krishna in that way. We see that. The devotees weren't concerned if it was impossible whether they fail or succeed. We look at this in some examples. In Rama's Leela, Ravana was kidnapping Sita. And Jatayu, the eagle, was going to stop Ravana. Could he stop Ravana? Did he care? He just wanted to do his service. Didn't matter if he failed in that service. And he fought against him and he was injured so badly. We see this, it'll come to any of us. I saw one dog out the back, he'd been bitten in the neck and he's injured very badly and suffering. And this is how Jatayu must have looked. And when Lord Rama came along, he grabbed him and did the funeral ceremony for him. So, you know, in the material world, if you're trying to sell a product and you try nicely, do they say, we'll pay you the commission anyway? No, you have to succeed to get it. But even though Jatayu failed, Lord Rama came along and was so pleased with him and doing that service. And then we have to do big service, right? We see that Rama was throwing the boulders to build the bridge to Lanka. And the squirrel was kicking sand in, and Hanuman says, "Get out of my way. You're simply kicking sand in my way." And Rama told him, "How is it that you are thinking that your service is greater? You get your strength from me, and the squirrel also gets his strength from me. So you're doing equal service." And we find this in devotees. When they're given this service, they take it as their life and soul. So, we see this in the life of Srila Prabhupada. He was given a service. The minute he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he says, "You're an intelligent boy. You should go to the Western world." Did he say, "Oh, this will be difficult and this will be..." And so then he went and he booked a cruise line, and Gaudiya Math paid for him to go to America. Was that it? No, not exactly. They didn't pay for that. When Ban Maharaj and the others went, they had their way paid, and yet they came back. But Prabhupada accepted this as his life and soul. And of course it was easy because he took the cruise line and he had a big amount of money they sent him. And when he arrived, the devotees there picked him up and took to the temple? No, that isn't the story either. It's funny, sometimes we hear that some Prabhupada's godbrothers said, "Well, they didn't go then because it wasn't ready for them." Well, that's easy to say, you know, to go to somewhere after it's already ready. "Well, you get it ready for me and then I'll come," right? Say, "Can you help me build a temple?" "Well, you get the temple ready and then when it's there, you let me know and I'll come there." It's getting it started that's hard. Prabhupada said when he got off the ship, he didn't know whether to turn left or whether to turn right. And we find that when we're put in these positions, then Krishna gives us mercy. Krishna was pleased with Prabhupada trying to do this. And he went to try to bring this to other people. Because we find that this is where we get this mercy. Krishna explains this in the 67th and 68th verse in the 18th chapter, that for one who teaches the science to my devotees, devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he comes back to me. The only other guarantees you get are that you die and you have to pay bills. And he says, "There is no servant more dear, and never will there be anyone more dear." So the devotees are interested in becoming dear to Krishna. There are so many things mentioned in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita about how to become dear to Krishna. And so the devotees just want to try to be dear to Krishna. Prabhupada tested devotees in many ways like this to go through the difficulty. When Prabhupada said they should finish all the Chaitanya Charitamritas because they'd only done 3 and Prabhupada had translated 17 volumes. And he says it needs to be done in like 6 months. And Rameshwar said that's impossible. And Prabhupada said impossible is a word in the Fool's Dictionary. So it was things that can become possible. If Krishna wants to change it, he can change it. And if things are impossible, Krishna can make that possible. People think in circumstances, like when the Nazis were attacking Russia, they thought they have all the 4 principles of action in place. They had the right endeavor, they were attacking Russia, they had the right equipment, they had the right senses with the right plan, and they were fully qualified, so they had all of the four factors in mind to win the battle. But what is the problem? What is the problem? How many factors are there? The fifth factor. So if I say, okay, I have a gun and I'm holding all four of you there and you can't move, but the fifth person is behind me with the gun himself, that fifth factor that we don't know about can make the difficult things easy and can make the things that look like they're just about to happen exactly the way we want. There was a song, I got this wonderful feeling, everything's going my way. Well, good luck with that. It can change quickly. So we find this, that these difficulties can come, but Krishna can make them easy, and the devotee is not concerned. I know I felt great mercy in that when Prabhupada sent me with the Swami to South Africa, and then when the Swami was gone, and I was just a child there all alone. And I wrote a letter to Prabhupada that I'm here alone, and that Rishi Kumar had taken the money with him. And we put through some trying tests there. But these trying tests helped me, like Kunti Devi said, that whenever there was difficulties, you appeared, so I wish these difficulties happen again and again. Because when the thieves grabbed me and had the gun at my head and were arguing about whether to shoot me, they told me to get under the bed, and one had the gun at my head, and I was chanted two rounds. I chanted good rounds. I was going to make the last one count. Because our last point could come at any moment, but when that test is there, it gives us an opportunity to really surrender to Krishna. The same thing when the thieves, when the government officials wanted to throw me off the roof. And when I got a letter from Prabhupada that started with, I'm very much pleased at the responsibility you've taken to spread Krishna consciousness in South Africa at such a young age, it made it all worthwhile to please Krishna and the spiritual master makes our life worthwhile. So we find that, who are the candidates? Well, the main candidates, we see, this is mentioned, there is a chapter about this in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, translated as Nectar of Devotion, the eligibility of the candidates. And we look in the advanced degree where Lord Chaitanya says that he doesn't want wealth. Let's say it together. Nadanam Nagyanam Nasundarim Kavitam Va Jagadishaya Janmani Janmanishwari Bhagavad Bhaktirahai Tuki Twai. He says, I don't want wealth. I don't want any numbers of followers. I don't want women. I'm prepared even to be born life after life. I only want your devotional service, birth after birth. Is this the way most people pray? They go to God with a list. As if God is sitting around with nothing better to do than to wait for you to come to Him with a list or pray to Him with instructions. I mean, what's the use of being God if you don't know what to do until somebody gives you a list of instructions and the desires they want fulfilled? What a strange conception of God. So we find that this is what the candidates are thinking. That in the same chapter it mentions that the devotees are so attentive in glorifying, hearing, and chanting about the Lord that they're not even interested in these principles of liberation. They come anyway, but they're not interested in them. So these are the advanced candidates. But to become a simple candidate, we find even people who've made mistakes can become candidates. They may be suffering or in distress. We look at the condition here of Durvasa Muni. It's similar to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma was going to trick Krishna, and he had so many ideas and thinking he's so important. Same with Indra. He has so many ideas about how he's going to punish the residents of Vrindavan and prove how important he is. We find Arjuna was very perplexed and explained all the reasons why he shouldn't fight. He had so many ideas. And we find this with Durvasa Muni. He is approaching, whether they approach Vishnu or Krishna. When they come, we see this something here that when they come to approach Krishna, Krishna is not interested in hearing, like with Arjuna or with Brahma, to hear all of their ideas and about how important they think they are. Someone says, oh, well, I'm a great political family. I was born in a Brahmin family. I was born as Lord Brahma. We find even when Brahma comes to offer the prayers to Krishna, he listens to them, but then he says, okay, I want to play with my friends now. So Krishna listens to you when you're out of ideas and you're not thinking yourself so important. Arjuna says that to him, now I don't know what to do. I'm out of ideas. I'm a soul surrendered unto you. So Krishna is more pleased when we're out of ideas and we approach him for what to do next. How can I serve you? What things can I do? What can I do next? Rather than talking about what kind of great ideas we are. After all, are we going to impress Krishna? And Krishna says, okay, good. I'll take you back to the spiritual world to serve in an advisory capacity. Do we really think he needs this? He doesn't need our advice. But the great part is when we surrender to Krishna, even if we made mistakes. Brahma made mistakes. Indra made mistakes. I know I've made many mistakes. And Durvasa Muni made these mistakes. But the interesting part is that Krishna, God, Vishnu, is taking the time to explain to him what he can do. The verse before this one, this is amazing. Even though Durvasa Muni was an offender, because he's asking Krishna what to do, he's explaining how by becoming a devotee. He explains in the verse before this, verse 66, that if somebody is equal to all people and he is completely attached to him, he can get me under his control. Krishna is explaining to Durvasa Muni how he can get him under his control. Do we want to do this? Do we explain to people how they can get us under their control? Does that sound like a scary thought? Especially people who have power, they don't go around doing that. They don't need to have. Does Krishna need to be under someone's control? No. So he wants to out of love. So he's giving this opportunity to Durvasa Muni when he is willing to do something. And it's something that shows in that verse too, that someone who's equal to all, we have to understand in these that people approach Krishna at different degrees, and we have to understand where they're coming from. So we have to, when people come to the temple, at least greet them. You know, sometimes I think here people have a little harder time with Western people. They have many ways of greeting. We have the deities for people to see. They have books. We have the japa. But if people come from a different country, what can you ask them? What? Nobody has an idea? What would you ask them? Yes? Where are you from? That seems like they ask someone where they're from. Ask them what it's like there. Ask them if they've been to a temple there. Try to make someone feel welcome. We find this. Krishna is mentioning that in this verse, that you should be equal to all. We're giving different chances to different people. You maybe give different instructions to different people. You may be giving different instructions to a brahmachari who needs training to stay a brahmachari, or a congregational member on coming to the temple regularly, or someone who's just come on how to chant at least one round. We give different instructions. But we have to remember that point here, that this is what is amazing, is that Krishna, even if we're just a little willing, he is giving the instructions. He is spending the time to talk to Durvasa Muni. Of course, he's explaining to him, you know, if you offended me, you're going to have to, just like a good parent is going to say, hey, if you made a mistake, you're going to have to rectify that mistake. It's bad parenting to say, that's all right, you made a mistake, but you can get away with it. This turns them into bad people because they think it doesn't matter if I do something wrong, I can get away with it. So Krishna is willing to forgive, but we must own up to the mistakes that we've made. And Krishna very quickly gives us a chance to get beyond these. But this is the point to realize in this verse, is that everything can be had just by serving Krishna. People are so willing to fulfill all their selfish, self-centered desires. They go to a spiritual god and ask for so many temporary material things. Let's say you get a meeting with, who's one of the richest people in India? Mukesh Ambani, right? You go get a meeting with him. He says, "What is it you want? I'll give you anything." And you say, "Can I have a rupee?" Now, if somebody is worth maybe a trillion rupees, would you ask them for just one? No, you'd ask for something more. So we approach the spiritual god for service. Because when we get service and love to Krishna, what do we get? What? We get everything we need. That's all we need to do. We're the factor that needs to be changed. Krishna, there's the two birds in the tree. The eating bird and the other bird is waiting. All we need to do is turn to him. We're the one that needs to make the change. We don't need to go to Krishna and say, "Listen, here's what you need to do." Because God may not be working things out according to our plan. But that's not how it's set up. We're supposed to be working according to Krishna's plan. And if we surrender to Krishna's plan, we don't have problems anymore. Because it all belongs to Krishna. So anybody have any questions or comments or corrections on this? Anybody like to be a candidate? Yes? Good.
Five types of liberation were mentioned.
Yes.
One type is not acceptable to Vaishnavas.
Yes.
Urging.
Yes.
But of the other four types, are all of them equally attractive to devotees? Is there a differentiation between the different types?
They sort of come as a package, don't they? And if you get any one of them, isn't that good? They come together. If you're on the planet of the Lord, don't you also have a sarupya?
Is this referred to the Vaikuntha planet?
It can be Vaikuntha or it can be Krishna Loka. You have a form like the Lord, you're on the planet of the Lord, you get the association of the Lord, and you get similar opulences. It could be either one. But the devotee is happy with the service even if he isn't on the planet of the Lord. So the service is superior. But they go together as a package.
So it's not location, location, location.
Well, it's service, service, service. It's where we're located in our heart that's important. So it is the location. But if we're having the service, then we have the association of the Lord. And that one may be superior, because if you have the association of the Lord, even if you have a material body and you're not on the planet of the Lord, so you could say that that one has a superior one, because if Krishna appears before you, that would be better than being on the planet of the Lord without the Lord. Of course, that can't happen. But you can have the association of the Lord and still be within this material world. But we don't go after achieving one, trying to get one, and then work for the other. We accept them as Krishna gives them to us. Yes?
Thank you. The service is mentioned.
It doesn't mention the deity in particular, it just mentions serving the Lord. Mentions serving the Lord. He says, "My devotees' service to me." It doesn't say a deity there. Where did you get that from there? He says, "My devotees are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service. That could be anything. That could be sweeping the floor. It could be doing Sankirtan. He just says, my loving service. Doesn't have to be in the temple. Someone who goes out to preach, it's even superior to. Otherwise you say, well, yes, I will do service to the deity, so I won't go to preach. You establish a temple there and then I will come. So we serve Krishna wherever we are. Doesn't have to be in front of the deity.
But now we see everybody is attached to the deities, that I want to worship maybe, I want to worship Harina. So, and you suggest maybe...
Yes, there are some of the things that, you know, in the old days it was rough sometimes because some people had to go all the time and couldn't do it. So now we have in certain temples, we have in America, in the Rupanuga Vedic College, it's all brahmacharis who go out to sell books. And where Vaisheshika has his temple in ISKCON Silicon Valley, it's all householders. And the people go, they go on like a monthly Sankirtan. Because that way you can engage the people. They can go with two or three other people. And you set up a table or go knock on doors. And you do it part of the time. So at least everybody should do it part of the time. So which should we have distributing books? Should we have like the brahmacharis in the Rupanuga Vedic College or like the householders in the ISKCON Silicon Valley? Which should we have? Both. It was a trick question. You figured it out. That's why a temple like Los Angeles probably distributes more than both of those together, because they have both brahmacharis who go out regularly, and they have the people who go once in a while. And sometimes we have some other problems in the temple. It's like people, sometimes the Indian people won't mix with people, or even new devotees don't mix with people when they come to the temple. But a way to solve that is when they go to do books and they meet with people and socialize to get them interested in the books. Then when people come to the temple, then they are accustomed to dealing with them. Because one of the sad things is that we spend all this effort, or someone comes to a temple and then no one pays attention to them. This is a great mistake. Especially if somebody comes with his wife and four children, and his brother comes with his wife and five children, there's already 12 of them. But if someone comes alone, I know sometimes old friends or people I know say, oh, I want to go to that temple, but will you meet me there? But people who just come on their own, by themselves, they're the best candidate. But if you leave them alone, they feel the most neglected because they came alone. But if someone comes alone, they didn't want to wait for someone else. They were willing to come and find out, even if they didn't know someone there or someone came with them. So the first thing we do is try to engage these people. So that helps to go as a group. They do that here when they have tables. Somebody new can sit with someone who's done it before. That's a lot easier when they used to tell them, pick it to the bone or don't come home. Now you get started easily. They can go with someone else who's already done it and watch them do it and do a little bit of it. So even if they can't go all the time, especially we have a month called the Prabhupada Marathon, or the December Marathon. We used to call it Christmas Marathon, because at Christmas all the people are out buying things and being charitable. So then they go with others and get used to doing books and talking to people. Because this is one of the problems. If nobody distributes books, they won't get them. And by this, then it trains them how to meet with people when they come to the temple. Start with a little. It's one of the problems. I had to get someone started. Just like the goal may be to chant seed 16 rounds a day and get people initiated, they don't start with that. They sit in the room and they do one round. We want to get people started. It's like Prabhupada says in the purport in Bhagavad Gita, that it's a long road from the beginning of Karma Yoga to the end of Bhakti Yoga. We don't plant a Bhakti Lata Vriksha, we plant that's a tree, we plant a Bhakti Lata Bija, a seed. So we should be interested by books And when people come to the temple, plant a seed. And in both those, it's like Vaisheshika asks people. You ask them when they come to the temple or doing books, are you from here or are you from somewhere else? You start with something simple. Try to engage people. Show them that you're equal to all. Show from these verses, be equal to all. Be attached to Krishna's service and be engaged in Krishna's loving service, and you automatically get these things. Even though they're not striving for them, they get them anyway. So the bell has rung. We can talk later, but I think everything is... These are wonderful things to get, but all we have to do is worry about serving Krishna. We don't even have to worry about it. We just do it. And then they come. So we can be attached to the deities and still go to do Sankirtan. They used to go in buses and not even see a temple. We can take pictures of the deity. The deity can be in our heart. Because the deity is important, but preaching is even more important. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.